Here we go. This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that? Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Komarov trying to rile up Marchand.
Did you lick Komarov?
Thanks.
Or was it a nuzzle or what was it?
I thought he wanted to cuddle. I was just trying to get close to him.
I don't really know what happened on it.
Wingles got drilled from behind by Kadri.
I mean, it's in the hands of the NHL.
Pastrnak backhand. He scores! That's the hat trick!
Right off the glass and into the crowd. It shouldn't even be close.
They score! It's James Van Riemsdyk.
Clearly they guessed because it hit the glass.
They score! Van Riemsdyk.
They get a goaltender change right now.
In game three, he was average. He came back with a very good game in game four in Toronto. Last night, I didn't think he was at his best, so we made a move.
They score!
Patrick Marleau just took out Backes.
Now we got to go to Boston. Clam chowder like we talked about. Got a digit to win a game.
We're going to try to play the 12 best forwards, see how the pieces fit, and win a hockey game.
Final hour, Felger and Mass from the Garden here in advance of Bruins Leafs Game 7. Your thoughts, the final hour here. I was surprised to hear this. Vegas line on tonight's game, Mass. What is it? Or Murray, someone wants to give it to me?
Bruins are minus 170.
So that's a prohibitive favorite.
Yeah, and the Leafs are plus 150-something, you know, low 150s.
Low, I mean, 170, that's a pretty decent favorite. It's not 2-1, but you know, that's a pretty good favorite. I'm surprised. I don't feel that confident. I mean, just to satisfy Jimmy? I think they're going to lose, but that doesn't mean, like, that's not a prediction, a-hole. That's just, like, how do you feel in your gut?
You're still hedging your bet.
Yeah, well, I mean, how do you feel in your gut?
I think they're going to win. I actually do think they're going to win.
But I don't know how you could possibly predict a game like this against teams like this, where there's not one team is more dominant than the other.
You don't think the Bruins overall are the better team than the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I think they're more balanced. I think they're better on D than Toronto, and I think that they have better sort of classic grinding and checking lines than Toronto. But Toronto's forward group, I'm sorry, is much deeper. They played James Van Riemsdyk, who had 30 goals on a third or fourth line kind of situation. You go Kadri and Marner and Hyman and Matthews, and you got a lot of guys. They're deeper with talented offensive players. They are. They just are. And I think that's sort of come out a little bit. And their goaltender's proven to be better. Over the first six games anyway. Who knows tonight? But they've had the edge in goaltending.
See, to me, that's what worries me now, is that with the way Anderson's gone the last two games, there's like a wild card element in terms of the psyche there.
Who's the hot goalie?
Anderson.
Oh, it's Anderson.
It ain't you. So that's, I mean, how much percentage do you give to that?
A lot.
I mean,
I do. To me, I said this after game six, it's what worries me more than anything now is Anderson. His confidence is high, his team believes in him, and the Bruins feel like they're jinxed. You know, in their heads, I mean, how they feel about it. They feel like we can't get anything past this guy. So all it's going to take is a couple more saves early in the game, and they're going to start rolling their eyes.
So there's that. But I think generally when it all nets out, the teams are really even. And so it's in this sport, it's just, I don't know how anyone could be confident in any one side. And I'm sorry, the recent Bruins history, just it does weigh on me. And it does start with Rask on out. Rask in home elimination games in his career is 1-4 with an .872 save percentage and a .330 goals against. I just can't reiterate enough how bad that is. Who knows what it's going to be tonight? Hopefully he's better than that. Hopefully he's good. I'll tell you this, he has the talent to be good. He's a talented guy. And if he plays to his ceiling, he's really good. So if he just plays well, you're fine. But in most of these games, he hasn't. In these big money, high leverage games, elimination games, in the playoffs, whether it's the Bruins or the opponent facing elimination, he's 6-14 in his career, 6-14, with a .28 goals against and an .884 save percentage. Those are wretched numbers. Now, if you want to blame his teammates and not him, you can do that too. Fine, I don't care. I'm sick of debating what Tuukka Rask is. But that's just the record. Those are just the facts. When they've been in this spot, meaning a high-leverage playoff game in front of Tuukka Rask, they've only won 6 of these 20 games. 6-14 in elimination games in the playoffs. And the goalie has an .884 save percentage. How and what? Tell me why I should feel confident. Like, how could... Are you confident, Murray?
Oh, God, no.
Thank you. Like, I don't know how... I mean, you could think the Bruins are going to win because they're a better team. And Vegas, I guess, thinks they're going to win. I just don't know how you could be confident. Jimmy, Mr. Prediction, Mr. Opinion, what's yours?
Oh, they're going to lose tonight. They might get smoked by the Leafs tonight. Now, is that so hard?
Mike and Woburn, what's your prediction?
I thought this was a pick 'em and stick 'em station. What happened to that?
Oh, well, no, I tried to do that, and Jimmy won't let me.
No,
so
I request opinions from my sports talk radio host. I'm sorry that I'm asking too much.
What's going to happen, Mike?
It's a toss-up. I think it comes down to puck luck because the teams are too evenly matched, and I don't think that was the case early on. Quick points, Mike. First of all,
send you both Mike back to 890 with that analysis.
890 would have had actual analysis, actually, instead of they're chokey. Look, speaking of chokey, Mike Babcock is a human freaking coach bag, overpriced accessory with a leathery exterior. Like the guy, you know, he hasn't made it out of the second round, Mike, since he choked away that finals to Pittsburgh in 09. Okay.
So, Mike, I've said this. Your one saving grace may be that the team you're facing might be bigger choking pigs than you are.
Yes, okay. And you know what? The league saved them from being choking pigs the other night because what is a more choky way to blow a series than to have a stupid penalty like Marlowe committed with that interference, blow the lead, and then lose it overtime? The league, that's the makeup for the Kerry Fraser non-call.
You are
on
such
the,
a
the
ref,
Gilmore
guy. That is
high
pathetic,
stick from
Mike.
Years ago.
The refs had nothing to do. The fact you even point up the officiating is such a loser mentality. My God.
I'm sorry, Mike. You know, you could say that that's a good sports radio take, but they didn't call it.
You were down a goal. It was an empty net. It was an empty net goal. So you're acting like they would have won the game?
No, I'm not, Mike. I'm asking for them to enforce a rule that at a point where a goal was scored because they put away the whistle. Basically, you're saying it's okay if they decide the game by not calling a penalty, but not if they might decide a game by calling it. And finally, the biggest difference between this series and last year is Charlie McAvoy. If Charlie McAvoy was anywhere near healthy, this series is over. Last year, he had 6 takeaways and 1 giveaway in 6 games. This year, 1 takeaway and 7 giveaways. He's a different player. This is a different defense without him playing 25 minutes a night.
Well, there's no doubt that McAvoy is different and diminished. There's no doubt about it. But to be that confident, that cavalier, to say it'd be not even close, I mean, you're just ignoring what this team has done recently in these situations. It's just ignoring it.
Well, and also, how does that explain the play of the forwards? Like, you know, to me, so there are multiple levels to it. McAvoy's clearly not right. And as for the call at the end of Game 6, you're not getting that one. You're not getting that one with an empty net on the road with the other team down 3-2.
That's so bad.
You are not getting that call. It's just, it's not going to happen. You can bitch about it all you want, but you're not going to get it down 2-1 to put you 6-4 in the final, whatever it was, 30 seconds of the game. You're not getting that call.
And let me tell you this. If the Bruins don't win tonight, it's not just chokey. It's not just choke-ish or choke-like. It's a choke. It's a gag.
There's no excuse making. I don't care how banged up they are. You're up 3-1. You can't close this team out. That's a choke.
2-0, 3-1. The other team was without one of their best players for 3 games in the middle of the series. You have outshot them 162-82 the last 2 games. Not on net, but just shots total.
Okay, but on the Kadri thing, you keep mentioning it's starting to drive me bananas. They won 2 out of the 3 when Kadri was out.
So?
So I'm telling you, they built a 3-1 lead. Kadri's really not an issue.
You should bury that team. You shouldn't lose to the Leafs when they've lost Kadri for 3 games in the middle of the series.
They shouldn't lose 3 in a row to the Leafs with Kadri out there.
That just sounds good when I say it. It just adds to the choke. It adds to the choke that one of their best players was suspended for 3 games in the middle of a series that you led 2-0 and 3-1 and you still couldn't win. You see, I mean, doesn't that sound better?
Yeah, but it's just not factual.
Well, it is factual.
Misleading the public since...
Okay, it's a little misleading, but it's not. It's totally factual.
Yeah, when Kadri came back, it was 3-1. The Bruins had complete control of the series.
Yes. If they lose tonight, they will have lost a series in which one of their best players was suspended for 3 games and they led 3-1. Fact, not opinion.
Correct.
Now it's a little, there's a little...
Manipulation.
But it's a factual thing.
No, that's okay. I manipulate the facts sometimes myself.
This is a choke if they don't win tonight. That is a choke. Especially all you people telling me all year they're a Stanley Cup team. Where's those guys been? The caller, they like basically was wet, broke down in tears when I wouldn't say that they're a Stanley Cup favorite. You know, all you people demanding admit that they're a Stanley Cup favorite. I want to hear from you tomorrow, and I want you to call for what it is. If you guys are right and this team's that good, then this is a choke if they don't win tonight. It's a choke. Forget chokey. It's a choke. So they should win, but how do you feel? What, do you think they will? You think they will win? I don't know how you possibly could. You all have a pit in your stomach. You know you do. You're not excited. You're sick. You're not looking forward to this. You're dreading this. This is what the Bruins have done to you. This is what the Bruins do to us because of the way they play in these games. It's not like a confident feeling. It's going to be a proud, big moment. I mean, it might be. I hope it is. But are you having fun today, Murray?
No, absolutely not.
You're miserable, right?
No, I've had the feeling of impending doom for a good 24 hours now.
Murray, you've
if they go up one, if the Leafs go up 1-0,
oh, Murray, I got news for you, pal. You've had the feeling of impending doom since you set foot on this earth.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupable. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is there a kid playing outside road hockey? It's the seventh game, and you're scoring a winning goal in overtime. That's just the way it was your whole life. I think, no one else in hockey is playing right now. They're all stopping to watch, and so that's always a seven. But I think just the opportunity, you get to go on. And, I think there's obviously a lot on the line that way. We'd like to play in the next round. If Boston wants to play in the next round, something's got to give. So, we're excited for the opportunity and enjoy the rest of today and be ready tomorrow.
This is a game that players dream about being in this situation. Game seven, playing road hockey in a small town in Canada or a big city in the United States or somewhere in between. And that's what it's about. Enjoy the moment. Prepare to play well. And we did that today. And I think we have throughout the series. And now you got to go out and embrace it. And to me, that's the simplest message we can give to our players. And do your job. Do it well. Trust the guy beside you. We've done it all year.
We will come back with Kevin in Hingham. Kevin, I've left you on the board for too long. I'm sorry about that. Are you still there? Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, I'm still here. I love the show. That's why I waited. Anyway, on tonight, if Cassidy wants to tell us that he's not going to play Donato, and he wants to go with his veterans, then go ahead and do that. But don't tell us it's because he can't play right wing. I went back through and I looked at Donato's game log for the regular season, and maybe it's arguably his best game as a Boston Bruin came when he played his first game on the right wing next to Krejci and DeBrusque. He was a +3 at 2 points, and even Cassidy himself said, I liked it. I think most people liked it. I thought they had good chemistry. They were feeding off of each other, and they can complement each other. So, I mean, that line combined for 8 points that night. So, you don't want to play it, fine, but just don't lie to us about right wing. Thanks.
Well, that is interesting.
He did play right wing that night. He's right.
I'm going to go back and look at that.
He did, because I remember the first goal. He was streaking down the right side. He absolutely was on the right wing.
So that is that.
I mean,
is,
not that that in and of itself tells you, but he was on the right side that night. He's right.
So listen, there's stakes here for Cassidy as well. I mean, he's going with his rote lineup. Danton Heinen, who really hasn't done anything this playoffs. Rick Nash back up to the second line after just moving him down to the third in Game Six, and I thought Rick Nash actually looked good playing on the left wing versus the right. So, like Cassidy's going to have some things here too, and not if. If they go three straight games where they can't put the puck in the net, and I know in Game 6 they got to three goals, but they've been snake-bit offensively here for several games, and Ryan Donato does not get in the lineup, he's going to hear about that. They're going to hear about it, because I think it's an organizational decision as well. They're going to hear about it, and they should.
I mean, to me, I told you, I can't stand the mentality of, well, we're going to go with who got us here. Like, just that logic in and of itself, to me, is flawed. It suggests that the matchups are the same in the postseason that they are in the regular season, and that the games are the same. And they're not. You have to adjust to the game and the situation. Now, you want to tell me you think Heinen's a better player? Fine. But don't tell me just because he played the whole year that that's the reason you play him. I hate that. It's a cop-out.
You think that's faulty logic?
I do. I do, because it's not everything is equal. You can't judge it based on the regular season solely and do it solely out of loyalty. You can't do it that way.
Phil in South Boston, what do you got for us, Phil?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What do you got?
Good. So, I mean, it's hard to think that the Stars aren't playing in the Bruins' directions for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, you look back to 2013 when Bruins had that awesome comeback happen right, you know, on the tails of Boston Marathon stuff. What they got with Toronto, you can't just help to think that the storylines are helping them out. Two, Char is 4-7 in game sevens with 3 total points. That's our captain. And then 3, Chuka's blown 3-0, 3-2, so might as well make it 3-1 blown leads.
Okay, so the Tuca stuff is, I mean, again, I've given it to you all day. He's 1-4 at home in Bruins elimination games in the playoffs. He's 5 times he's been playing at home in the playoffs to get the Bruins through, and he's lost 4 of the 5, and the only win was the miracle comeback against these Toronto Maple Leafs. So I don't know how that doesn't stick in your head. He should be 0-5 in this situation, all things being equal. You know, that's sort of an 0-for run. So I don't know how you ignore that. Also, as the caller said, and others have pointed out, that if Rask loses tonight, Rask will become the first and only goalie in National Hockey League history to blow leads of 3-0, 3-1, and 3-2 in his career. That would be a neat little hat trick.
We call that choking bingo.
That's something else if that happens. Steve in Weymouth on Rob Gronkowski. What do you think?
Hey, guys. So I was a firm believer that Gronk was going to be traded Thursday night, just waiting for it. What was the team? What were you going to get in return? I thought he was 100% out the door. And then once he comes back now and we hear, oh, the agent met, we're so sorry, everybody's happy, immediately popped in my head was a movie. And I want you guys, when you get a chance, to look it up, comment. It's just Mr. Deeds. If you YouTube Mr. Deeds football scene, you can't put on the radio right away. There's a couple of swears, but I picture Belichick as Adam Sandler and Gronkowski as the mean, angry player that comes in the room. I'll leave you at that, and I'd love to hear what you think about it.
Okay. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Me neither.
But you guys are in charge of the pop culture stuff, so
I have no idea really.
Adam Sandler.
Play with that if you want.
I'm not wasting my time on one of those terrible movies.
But he's a hack.
It's just hard not to think that what he did on Saturday with the Monster Energy motocrossing thing and Wednesday's thing are not related. Or Tuesday's. It was 2 days later.
Yeah.
It was 3 days later. You know, it's just hard not to think it's related in some way.
There's a cause and effect there.
Gronk did not apologize on Instagram.
No, he got reined in is what happened.
But it does feel like he got snipped a little bit, yes. It did, just the tone of it, right? I met with Coach, and I'm going to play in 2018 for the Patriots. You know, he did still do the hashtag bands a maker dance,
That
though.
Is true. So maybe that's alluding to the fact that he is going to get a deal, because I still believe that it doesn't have to do with the training. That has to do with the peel off those bands, make that money come out so I can dance a little bit for you.
Or it was a shot at Bill even in that instance, because he's still working out with Guerrero using the resistance bands. Like, I don't know. I wonder. Or
the hashtag is still defiant in some way, right?
I think.
I'd like to think so, sure, yeah.
Or it could just be Gronk saying, I'm in great shape and I'm ready to go. Like, I, you know, who the hell knows with him?
Wayne, give me a thought on tonight's game.
Yeah, Maz, you were right. You said it was going to take 7 games, and, you know, I'm not that surprised. I mean, win or lose, I mean, I hope they win. But they win the first 2 games, they get a little cocky. I mean, right now you got to stop the fancy crap. You have to go out there, crash the net, shoot the puck. I mean, right now these guys...
I think that's relatively clean. Tight. They're tight. They're not. It's not like they don't show up. It's not like, you know, I think people always sort of misconstrue it. I think they're too amped. They want it too much, and that causes them to tighten up. And I think that's the common denominator through all these big losses.
Or too afraid to make a mistake, which in these games you can't do either. So, look, honestly, I think you're better off playing Game 7 on the road if you're them. I do. Because if the other team scores first, if Toronto scores first, you know what the feeling is going to be like in that building tonight? Like that, but as a player, like, that is a hard thing to overcome. Like, you're sitting there going, here we go. And not only that, now we've lost our fans. And so I just think you're better off playing that game on the road. You take a simpler, more conservative approach. And so I'm trying to think, what's the last Game 7 they've won? The Toronto game here.
Yeah.
Okay, which was a fluke. Other than that, it was the game in Vancouver.
Yes. This is what I've been saying all week.
I'd rather be on the road. I would. I'd rather be on the road.
Of course you would, especially with this team. And this fan base. I mean, that's really what it is. You and I won nothing. It's like, oh,
you can. All the life is going to get sucked right out of the building.
Oh, hell yeah. Mike and Danvers, quickly on the Red Sox. Go.
Okay, Matt, quick question. I want to know why Benintendi was in that game last night. He was 0-for-15 against Hap. Why is he in the lineup? He's a lefty. Can you please explain that to me?
So, Mike, my guess is that they had an off day, and look, they haven't sat Benintendi against lefties at all here in the early part of the year. He was 0-for-10 against him. Bradley was 1-for-14. He was in there, too. So combined, they were 1-for-24, but that's his regular team, and that's what he's going to go with. I have a different second guess with Cora, but it goes back a few days. But I was
quick.
Okay, J.D. Martinez was hot as a pistol coming out of the Anaheim series. I think over six games, he went something like 13-for-24, okay, with extra base hits. Then he went 8-for-12 in the Anaheim series. They sat him on Friday night, first game in Oakland. He sat. Since that time, he's 0-for-11 with 8 strikeouts. So you have this guy on an unbelievable tear. You sit him because that's what your blueprint called for, and now he hasn't even made contact in the three games since. So it feels to me like you let the air out of the balloon there.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't think there's any panic at all in this group. We have to outplay Toronto for 60 minutes. I think we've done it for long stretches early in the series. Recently, I think we've done it in the games we've lost. We've outplayed them, but we got to do it for a full 60 minutes. And you know, that's usually the team that's going to win, unless you get some miraculous performance from an individual, which I don't like to, you know, kind of put all your eggs in one basket. It's about the team. About the team playing 60 minutes.
I wouldn't quite say there's no panic. There's a fair amount of dread among Bruins fans. I don't know about the team itself. Hopefully their mindset is different than it's been in the past in these situations, because it has not been good. It has not been good time and time again in recent years. We've seen this team come home, game 7 against the team they should beat, and crap themselves. Just time and time again. We've just seen it. We've seen it so many times. And I just can't happen. After what a year they had. Right, what a great year they had.
Phenomenal regular season.
You know, by some respects, this is gravy, right? We didn't expect to even be at this point.
No, that all changed after December on.
Thank you.
And those first two games, never mind the year, the first two games of this series. You're at this tonight? I want to swear so bad. It's led me to that. It really has. And, I mean, I've been a honk for this team. I believe they're a buzzsaw. They're going to the Cup Final. Hey, they may win the damn thing. All those terrible feelings came back in that third period of that last game. They're doing it to me again. They haven't changed. They're the same old MF Bruins I've grown up with.
And it's not just, you know.
I'm with Murray. He makes a great point, though. Aside from the regular season, right, they came out and kicked their ass in the first two games. If there was any doubt about the regular season being a fluke, they get answered in the early part of the series. I mean, they played great. They weren't intimidated. They could handle the speed, all of it. What happened? They got in front. That's what happened. Like, sometimes it's the most terrifying realization for teams like this is that, oh my God, we might be good. Now what? Now there's expectation. Up 2-0, up 3-1. You got to, and two games in your building of the last three. You got to win that series. You got
to
win it.
So to me, it's partly selfish, too. I mean, I just want, I think these games are so exceptional, and they're just, I mean, it's just as good as it gets, you know, especially when it's your team in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the rhythm of it every other night, another game, and all the stuff, and just the games themselves are just so compelling. Like, I mean, I want to see that round against the Lightning. It'd be a great matchup. A great matchup. And just the whole thought that we were going deep, you know, this is the we being the whole, you know, hockey talk, the whole thing, it's going deep. And it ends tonight after being up 3-1.
Yeah.
After being up 3-1, 2-0 and 3-1. It can't happen. It can't happen. So we'll see. I think there's stakes tonight. I think there's stakes for Rask. I think Rask, if he loses tonight, and again, goes to 6-15 in elimination games in the playoffs, if he goes to 1-5 at home facing elimination, like, and now he's 30 and the sample's big. He's been at this now 8 years. Like, at some point, you just got to say it's just not happening with this guy in this city on this team. It's got to be somewhere else for him or for us. Like, something's got to give. So I think there's those kind of stakes for Rask. Unfortunately for him, if he wins, I don't think that really proves much either, because it's only the first round. You're supposed to win the first round, and he'd just be atoning for some garbage play earlier in the series. So, unfortunately for him, I don't think he has much to gain, but he has a lot to lose. But I think there's other guys, too. Like, I mean, Krejci, Rick Nash, whether he's here or not, you know, is this going to be another, is he really the Joe Thornton of the Eastern Conference? It sure looks like it. Sure feels that way. So there's stakes for these other guys as well. So we'll see. I think there's a lot riding on it tonight for a lot of these guys. We go to the phones until we hit the final word here in 9 minutes. Bob in the car. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, guys. Well, here we are again, Game 7, and nobody seems to know which goaltender is going to show up. Is it going to be Tuukka Rask, or is it going to be take a risk where he craps the crease and turns into the finish flopper, and we just throw him on a freight train and get him out of town? Secondly, is anybody, you've been watching Chara, he seems to be slowing down on his transition, skating backwards and trying to turn to his left. It just seems that he's playing too many minutes and he needs to...
Okay, so, yeah, you know, I mean, Bob, I haven't noticed to the left thing, but he does look slow at times, which was, that was entirely predictable. This was a bad matchup for Chara because of his speed.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And so, look, maybe being in this building again will help a little in that. Cassidy can pick his spots a little bit more than he might have been able to up in Toronto. So, I just worry about the Bruins' ability at this stage to finish opportunities. I think Anderson's in their head, and they are trying to get too perfect at the other end.
Tim in Nashua. Hi, Tim.
Michael, is Cassidy not recognizing what Toronto is doing? That coach lit a fire under Matthews' ass. In the past two games, he's been unbelievable, in my opinion. And also, is he not recognizing how they're attacking their defense? They know Charlie has one leg and Char is slow, so they literally use their speed to go around him. The adjustments he has to make is not being made, and that adjustment is Ryan Donato and Krejci and Backes. And okay, on the third.
I'm going to stop you there. What does Ryan Donato do to stop Austin Matthews? What does Ryan Donato do to make up for the fact that Char is a little slow? Nothing. Or that McAvoy's coming back from a knee injury. That doesn't do anything. There's no adjustment there. Is Austin Matthews picked it up? Yep. He's a good young player, and he was going to find it eventually. And Cassidy's been countering him. Here he'll do it with Bergeron, who's one of the best defensive centers in the league, and Char and McAvoy. Like, what else is Cassidy supposed to do there? Nothing he can do there. The second guesses with Cassidy will be, you got snake bit offensively at the end of the series, and you kept one of your best natural shooters on the sidelines the entire time in Ryan Donato. That's going to be a big second guess.
Absolutely.
And again, also, what he did the other night with Tommy Wingles up on the second line. Like, that's one you're going to look back at as well, for sure.
So I'm glad that he put Nash back with Krejci at the very least. Like, we'll see how that shakes out. And again, he might be right. He might get two goals out of Heinen tonight. Who the hell knows? The other thing I would like to see in terms of matchups, if Cassidy wants to start playing that game, can he do anything to get Bergeron away from Plekanec? Like, you know, to me, it feels like the series changed with that.
Sure did.
Insertion.
And I'm looking at his stats, too. Regular season, when he was traded to the Leafs, 17 games, 2 points. Just two assists. 17 games, 2 points. Postseason, 6 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points. Like, it's so, if you want to give credit to Babcock for anything, it's putting him up on the first line and maybe lighting a fire under that guy's ass.
No question. With his stupid little turtleneck.
And he's such a Canadian.
He's such
too.
Give me a good adjective for that little turtleneck. That fruity turtleneck that, you know what I mean? Oh, that's so Montreal. You know, even in a hockey game, he got a little fashion statement with that little mock turtleneck. He'll wring his freaking neck. They shouldn't have to run Bergeron away from Plekanec. I am sorry. Bergeron should win that matchup. Bergeron's hurt, right? I mean, so that has to be it. Don't tell me that Bergeron is losing straight up to Thomas Plekanec and his little fruity mock turtleneck.
Well, you said, when you've talked about Bergeron, especially the last couple of games, you said, what, he's like a non-factor. I agree with you. Like, he looks like a shell of himself. So that whatever that upper body injury
gotta
is,
be hurt.
It's definitely effective.
Borderline invisible. Really, for him, invisible. You just, he's never this unnoticeable in games.
Kevin and Brighton, go.
Hey, first, I just want to, I can't believe we're discussing whether or not a loss tonight would be a choke job. These Bruins people are worse than the Green Teamers tonight. If they lose tonight, it's a bona fide choke job. Also, I want to know what you guys think about the forwards and how much blame you put on them for getting us to this point. How about Marchand in that third period, giving it up twice in the power play? It was awful. What do you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a huge part of it.
I mean, there was one pass in particular, I'm sure you remember it, where he was on the faceoff circle on the right wing side and tried to go across the ice. It was such a bad pass. It was an easy pick for anybody who was there.
This is an example of the opposing goalie getting in your head. You know, usually Marchand just lets that rip, right? But now they think they got to dangle, make an extra pass, do something special because Frederik Andersen has crawled in their cages and taken a steaming dump. And so this is the Bruins look exactly like a team looks when an opposing goalie gets hot and gets in their head. It's exactly what it looks like. And who's saying it wouldn't be a choke? Who's saying it wouldn't be a choke? Or the an underachievement on expectations or what they're capable? Who would possibly say this is not a choke job? Nothing more than a choke job. Someone will use
once we find out what the injuries are, what's been wrong with Patrice Bergeron.
Oh,
if they're to lose this game,
gag.
Yeah, that's coming.
I do think the teams are relatively even, and if the series was on even footing, if it was 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, 3-3, like if it was one of those, then you say, okay, they're equal, and it's not a choke job. You just lost to a better team, or it didn't go your way. When you're up 2-0 and 3-1
with two of the final three in your building,
come on. That is a gag, especially compared to the commentary you were throwing in my face all season about how good they were. You can't have it both ways. Are they really that good? And if they're really that good, then this is a gag. Max in the car. Go, Max.
Hi. Earlier, Mazzarotti was talking about the possibility of putting in Donato, and he said he was frustrated with the philosophy of sticking with the same personnel from the regular season to the playoffs. I wonder if he would compare and contrast that with the Malcolm Butler situation. Thank you very much.
Okay, I just got handed a note. I was reading it, so I zoned out for a second there. What's he comparing it to?
I missed it, too, because I was reading the same note over here.
He said something about...
I missed it, too.
I guess there's a new Gronk sound. We'll play it in a second. I'm sorry.
I think he said something about comparing Donato to Malcolm Butler. And to me, it's not apples to apples. I'll leave it at that.
It's definitely not apples to apples.
No.
I mean, Malcolm Butler's been here for 3 years playing every damn snap.
Yeah, Donato played, what, 15 games, 14 games?
Donato's been here 10 minutes.
Right, and it was also clear who the better player was with the Patriots. Right, you had guys on the field that had no right being out there. And at least in this case, you could say it's a little more debatable, but it's not the same.
Well, but I think the previous caller in Donato made a great point about when Donato first got here, he played on the right wing. The first game was on the right wing, and he looked great offensively. It's like, now he can't play the right wing? Like, that's sort of, are they just sort of choking on what got them here, which is bold thinking, going with kids, not being afraid, not being conservative, and are they sort of, do they get to a big moment and sort of pull back? They being Cassidy and the people who are deciding the lineup, like, they just, have they gotten conservative?
I mean, I don't think there's any way to dispute that. I felt they did that in game one, and it worked, right? I mean, it worked. So early on in the series, they dominated, and he took a conservative approach to game one. So look, I wish I could tell you I knew what was going to happen out here tonight. I have no idea. No idea. It's just impossible to know whether they are going to squeeze the sticks a little more or what. But they got to find a way to get pucks past that guy.
The game is on tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Puck drop at 7:30. Dunkin' Donuts pregame at 7. If you're watching on TV, NBC Sports Boston, myself, Tony Amonte, will have you covered on TV for postgame coverage right when it's over. Flip over to NBC Sports Boston. If you're watching on TV and not listening on the radio, if you're watching on TV, flip on over for Amonte and Felger for solid, unvarnished Bruins reaction. Coming up next is the final word, in which we will give you fresh Rob Gronkowski sound. Apparently, he posted something just within the last few minutes that may or may not shed some light and give you some indication about his mindset. Fresh Rob Gronkowski sound in the final word right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Blood force drum!
We're gonna run him right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz. on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Jim.
The best prices.
Nobody.
Free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. No.
No one.
All right.
So no, wait. Hold on. Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge June 1st and 2nd. Register today at TeamTomBrady.com. Now you may go.
All right. Rob Gronkowski has taken to something called Uninterrupted. I think this is like a knockoff of the Players Tribune. I don't know. Maybe he's got some investment in it. But he's talking about his decision to come back to the New England Patriots, the announcement made around this time on Instagram yesterday.
What's up, Pats Nation? Last 2 months have been wild. There have been fake news left and right. No doubt about that. There's been some real news, but I would say way more fake news. But the last 2 months has been a grind. Just seeing where I've been at, you know, after the season, after a run like that, playoff run, all that type of stuff, Super Bowl run, you got to just see where your body's at. You feel it playing the game. So the last 2 months, just taking time, working out, doing different type of treatments, just, and it's been feeling good. It's the best I ever felt right now. Feeling great. I've been working out hard, and I feel super, super pliable, and it's huge. It's a difference maker. But been grinding. I'm going to keep on grinding. I'm going to keep working hard, and I'm excited for the 2018 season. I'm ready for another championship run. I'm headed to the Bahamas this weekend. About to shoot Shark Week. That comes up in the end of the summer. So for all you Shark Week fans out there, you Tiger Sharks, Bull Sharks, you'll be seeing me out there on the big screen, you know, on the TV screen, hanging out with the Sharks. So it's going to be a good time. I'll be bringing out my workout gear, get a couple workouts in. But excited for the 2018 season. I'll be ready to go, and couldn't be more excited. Let's go. Let's do this.
All right. Go ahead.
All but three words there are completely useless. Feeling super pliable.
Oh, that's such a day.
Totally. You know. Oh, he's on board. He's so on board. He's a complete addict now. But go ahead.
No, but I love how he's been spending. He's done nothing but, you know, for the next last 2 months, drop hints, innuendo, said it after the Super Bowl. I've got to, you know, look at all my options or whatever. You know, he's the one that brought it up after the Super Bowl. It was his people that floated it during the Super Bowl. And then he spends the next 2 months with every bit of hashtag, bands that make or dance, little broad chick, little illusions on social media. Does nothing but that for 2 months and then comes out and says there's been a lot of fake news. Yeah, you fraud.
Oh, listen, this to me, this was part of the deal. This was, he went in, they talked to Bill. Bill said, listen, all the crap you've been putting out there, put something else out there that you know, dismisses all of it or tries to as much as Gronk could.
All this stuff came from him.
Yeah, this to me was part of the deal.
It didn't come from anywhere else. It all right. Came from him and his people.
This is propaganda. That's what that is.
What a joke. What a joke.
Feeling super pliable.
Oh, you fraud.
Because I'm thick as thieves with Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. We still might want to walk at any time, Bill. Okay, so right out of the gate today, really entertaining callers to start the show. So here's a recap of that.
Murderers Row.
Frank the Tank, give me 45 seconds on the bees.
This is how I feel. I'm ready to punch it.
We are not responsible for the sentiments that sometimes expressed by our callers.
Okay, I'm that excited. I'm that excited about the game tonight. I mean, I couldn't be more pissed off, happy, and just scared at the same time.
Mike in Needham, give me a Celtics thought.
Yeah, Felger, look, I let me preface this by saying I love Brad Stevens. I wouldn't want any other coach. But I think he's making a mistake with this Marcus Morris in these games here over Jason Tatum.
Eddie and Derry on Tuukka Rask and the Bruins. Hi, Eddie.
I called you last week, and I told you that Pupa was going to be pulled before Game 5, and it happened. The only chance they have to win tonight is they got to start Cordobin. Now, we know Cassidy does not have the authority or the nuts to make that kind of a call. But we have to have Fluka come down with the Hershey squirts or something like that the way he did that last game a few years ago. Because this guy's fighting the puck. He doesn't have it.
Jason and Lulk.
How is Gronk's little dump he took on the Patriots now? You know, I think Bill probably threw it back in his face maybe. I don't know.
Just as an aside, I normally give our callers a great deal of grief. They have been tremendous out of the gate today. I will say that.
You know you've just hit the sweet spot when it's, yeah, they should start Cadobin.
Yeah.
That's when you. That's it right there.
Yeah, because Puka's got a case of the Hershey squirts.
Finally today, producer Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart got fed up with fence-sitting Felger and his refusal to pick it and stick it.
I'll say.
Game 7.
Oh, God. Here's Matt in New Hampshire on the Bees. Yes, Matt.
All right, Felger.
got a little issue with you not predicting the game.
Okay, my opinion is I'm not confident. I'm not confident in your chances at all. But that doesn't mean anything.
Are you confident in Toronto's? Yeah, we're fans of the Bruins. With all those decades of failure?
Yeah.
You were scared to make it a commercial again?
I'm not afraid of it.
Sounds that way.
I
remember when
win.
Felger actually had opinions on the show, and they seemed to have gone by the wayside the last week or so.
I think that picking hockey games like this is kind of dumb. Unless you're talking about like a legit team. We're talking about the Blackhawks recently or the Penguins now or a team like that. These two teams, it's pretty even. The Bruins should win. They're the better team. But their track record in these spots the last couple of years has sucked. So what am I supposed to do with that?
If you're going to be a Bear, be a Cub.
I mean, what do I think? I don't think they're going to win. But that's not a prediction. Like, who knows? It wouldn't surprise me one bit.
It's an opinion. Have one.
What do you think's going to happen?
Well, I think they're going to lose.
I mean, I do too.
But again, yeah, I think, I mean, I always fear the worst is coming. Just about always.
Jimmy, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying you don't know who's going to win.
No, there isn't.
I don't know
wrong
who's going to win. I don't know. They're both kind of good teams. I don't know.
No, none of us can predict. I mean, you made a prediction for the hell of the Super Bowl. You were wrong.
Of course I was wrong. But, like, in that one, you could say,
I don't know. It's game seven. Anything can happen. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Frick.
You had the I'm afraid of another commercial by the Bruins because they're too young. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I've been burned. Maybe I'm afraid they're going to make another commercial.
You're scared.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.